This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Daryl Bock is research professor at Dallas Theological Seminary and the author of many books and articles on the New Testament. This is the final part of an interview with him that has examined the New Testament documents and whether it's possible to have an accurate portrait of Jesus. In this final part, he answers the question of whether it's possible to be a believer and still a very good secular historian.
Yes, you can. I do think it requires a caveat that's important, and this is particularly more aimed at believers in some sense, and that is it's important to appreciate how teaching and doctrine and history develop over time, and that conclusions that the church ultimately comes to when they kind of have all the pieces of the puzzle in don't necessarily match what you start off with in certain passages, that there is a growth and a development in understanding. So, for example, and there also are choices that authors make in how they choose to present Jesus. You know, I can believe that he is the Son of God and this exalted figure, but I can choose to present him gradually in order that it can dawn on people who he is. And I actually think the Synoptic Gospels do this. They take the strategy of saying, I like to say the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, tell the story from the earth up. They start with categories that we're used to about Jesus and then slowly show how he is this unique figure. John does it the other way. He does it from heaven down. He starts right at the beginning with an exalted Jesus, says he became flesh, and he says, now I'm going to tell you that story. The Mark and Matthew and Luke start with either Jesus who's baptized by John the Baptist or Jesus who's a child of Mary and Joseph. Granted, it's an unusual birth, but we start there. We talk about a messianic promise. In Luke, the promise is he's going to sit on the throne of David. We understand what a king and a Messiah is. And then as he goes through ministry, he starts doing things that show his authority, a kind of transcendent authority, and we slowly build a stairway, if you will, to understand the exalted Jesus. And the scriptures do this. And sometimes what believers do is they'll take the Johannine layer, the layer from John that's exalted, and they'll place that on top of the Lucan story, and they'll actually cover up the story. They'll cover up the process of the story, even though that's where the story is taking you. And even though on reflection, when you have all the pieces together, you can end up there. But it's like cheating. I'm gonna take you to the finish line without showing you all the steps. And so good historical work is designed to uncover those steps along the way and not just the finish line. And so in that sense, you can do very good historical work that's nuanced, that's careful, that fits it in the cultural background, et cetera, and still be a believer and make sense out of not only what's going on historically, but why you end up with the text saying what they say as well. If you do really good historical work, you can see kind of all the connections, like an interstate highway system.
What moves you personally beyond the historical Jesus to the exalted Jesus?
Well, I think that historical understanding of actually what Jesus is doing and why it is that he was able to attract followers, why it is he was able to attract followers who were willing to die for what they believed. This wasn't a group that said, you know, Jesus is one prophet among many, and when he died, they say, well, we'll just get a new prophet. No, this is someone who was placed and seen to be at the hub of something unique that God was doing that occupied a very unique role. There's a very famous passage in the middle of the Gospels at Caesarea Philippi where Jesus asks, you know, who do you say that I am or the Son of Man is, which is the way Jesus referred to himself, and who do the people say that he is? And the people's answer was, well, he's a prophet of one kind or another. And then the confession is, that is the turning point in these Gospels, is you are the Christ, the Anointed One. And the point here is that you have a unique position in the program and plan of God. And so if you take Jesus seriously, you take his teaching seriously, and you see this unique role, then you're drawn to his uniqueness. The resurrection does the same thing. It isn't merely to say that there's a life after death and that Jesus kind of is like a trailblazer who shows there's a life after death and that's the end of it and we all will have life after death and face God. That's true, but that's not all that's going on. There also is the remark that Jesus made about his death saying, and you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power, in which he is predicting and telling people where he's going when God vindicates him in resurrection. And he's not merely parked among the angels. He's not merely going to heaven one among many. He is seated on the throne with God, and God shares his glory with no one. So if he shares his glory with God, that says something about his person. that he also is divine and he has a unique status. And so just reading the story and simply asking, who is this Jesus, drew me to him. In fact, when I wasn't a believer and someone handed me a Bible and said, you're intelligent, just read the New Testament and just ask this one question. Is Jesus peripheral to the story or is Jesus at the center of the story? And it didn't take long reading the Gospels to see that he was at the center of the story, and an allegiance to him and what he has done is the core of that story. And so Jesus is not a purveyor merely of religious ideas. He is a purveyor of an entire way that is oriented to being focused on him and who he is and what he provides. That pushed me across the line, and I couldn't embrace my understanding of what the texts say about Jesus without embracing Jesus.
Daryl Bock, thank you very much for being with us.
You're very welcome.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.